So this tool we call WISER, which I mentioned at the end of the first segment, W-I-S-E-R, stands for, you know, W is watch, to pay attention to what the situation is with the particular relationship. The I is to interpret, to analyze, interpret the what's happening with analytical skills, the S is to select. You know, once this is what I'm seeing. This is my interpretation of it, and different solutions I can to fix the relationship or the problem. So the next one is you have to, what are the solutions? So just select what you consider the best solution to address the problem with the relationship or to improve the relationship, what have you at that particular. So it's a select. And then E of the WISER is engage, phrase I really like because, we talk a lot about take an action, execute, not just to do the analysis and the selection, but then engage and actually execute with what you decided is the way to proceed with that particular issue or problem or person. And then the R is to reflect. Once you've gone through it and you've looked at the situation, you've analyzed, interpreted it, you've done the selection, you've decided to act, and you've acted, then the R of WISER is to reflect, and then look back in what you did, and see whether it worked out the way you wanted it to work, what you could have done differently, and learn from it. And then there's a with respect to as you do the reflection, there's a different questions, in terms of watch. Did I face the problem directly or did I avoid it? Did I take time to do an accurate assessment of the situation? Did I talk with all the people involved? With respect to interpret, did I recognize how it felt? Was I willing to acknowledge my role in the situation? Did I focus what was going on in my head? These are just some of the questions under each one of these reflections, select, was I clear about the outcome I wanted? Did I consider all the available options for responding? Did I do a good job identifying resources available to help me, in terms of your selection of the way to go forward? And I'm just giving you a couple of examples in each case. Engage. Did I practice my response or run by a trusted confidant to increase the likelihood that I would succeed? Did I take steps that are realistic for me? Did I evaluate progress and was willing to adjust as needed, etc.? And then reflect. It says, in light of all I just reflected on, how would I do things differently next time? What have I learned? I'm quoting here, is if we're going to learn from our experience and do better next time, we have to do more than just live through it. We have to reflect. In doing so, when we find ourselves in the heat of a similar moment next time, we may be able to take that extra split second to consider the situation, clarify our goals, consider options for responding to it, and move the needle of our lives in the right direction. Reflection, huh? I like, okay. I'm thinking, one of the critical moments of where I had to make a tough decision dealing with people in my situation, and it was in my fourth year at Harvard, and I wasn't happy with the role at that time. It was my third year in the varsity ice hockey team, and I never got along very well with the coach. And I didn't think the coach was all that helpful in developing us. And it was clear at that particular juncture, probably like, I think it was like January or February. We've been about 3 months or so into the season. That he basically had decided to move forward to developing, the team for the following year. And I just didn't feel, appreciated. I just wasn't satisfied with my role on the team and all, and I had to make a tough decision, I had a talk with him, and he said, no, I'm, you know, I, I, I value you. I want you to say that, but I do want to sort of bring up the younger people. And I said, well, you know, I just don't feel comfortable anymore. And I decided to get off the team and go to the junior varsity and play for about 3 months in the junior varsity team, which I enjoyed immensely. Much less stress, much less traveling, and I spent a lot more time on my senior thesis in terms of priorities. And it was a lot, and there were a lot of, I could give a lot of examples. I remember that one as a moment, and when I reflected back and still look back, it was a good decision, a tough decision, but it was a good decision. It was kind of, I think I did the wiser steps, you know, and all. So, you know, you have to look at your priorities and all and make it. So I hope that's helpful. Now, you know, I keep on saying, and this is, you know, on page 164, I'm quoting, you know, at the end of the day, it's not easy, and it's, I'm quoting, it's difficult to really connect with other people and know them. It's difficult to love and be loved. It's difficult to keep from pushing love away. Those are, you know, it's difficult to really connect with other people and know them. It's difficult to love and be loved. It's difficult to keep from pushing love away. You know, I underlined those words because those are powerful, I think, you know. It's so hard to connect with people, to say the right things, to keep them, you know, with us that are important. It's a challenge every day. Every day it's a challenge. I'm quoting again, and this is page 180. In the end, what matters most are not the challenges we face in relationships, but how we manage them. So again, you know, it's not that relationships are perfect. There's going to be fights. There's going to be bickering. There's going to be this and that. So it's not that they're not going to be challenges in them. It's you know, how we manage those challenges. And again, I think that's one of the most difficult things in life, to manage the relationships. And the closer we are to the person, the more difficult it is to manage them correctly. And you know, every day we blow it. I mean, at least I blow it every day with all kinds of people. And you know, hopefully, a lot of times you make up for it and all. But you know, this is the thing. And of course, when he goes to a relationship, I think the book misses the importance of our self-development, of our own relationship, you know. But the next one, he goes into the different ones, you know, the spouse. And I got a kick of Mark Twain, a quote from Mark Twain that appears, and let me get it. He says, Mark Twain says, "Love seems the swiftest, but it is the slowest of all growths. No man or woman really knows what perfect love is until they have been married a quarter of a century." This is by Mark Twain. And of course, Pinky and I have, on August 26th, celebrated our 59th. So we have accomplished the 25th. Huh? We've doubled that. And you know, it's true. You know, it takes a long time for what's real love, where you can really count on each other, and that is, as we said, you know, the critical thing of true friendship. The second group, you know, is family, and then work. And this ties in with that the priorities that I put together a long time ago. And you read this and you say, boy, you know, I was relatively young then, you know, and yet I was able to put the priorities together. Of course, where I find I have a difference from a lot of people is that I put myself, you know, yourself as the first priority, which seems, you could say narcissistic, you can say egoistic, but I keep on feeling that if so long as you weigh that that this importance to yourself and your self-confidence and your development in all these different areas, intellectual, emotional, financial, etc., that you, at the same time you're humble and modest and realize that you know, that you're not better than other people and that this can be taken away with, and you're just trying to improve on your talents and do the best you can with what you have. I think it's okay. I remember my one of my favorite people, my cardiologist, Jose Serrano. One time he had talked about his mentor, and he said, you know, his mentor sat down with him, and as a young person, he says, you know, thinking about my life, etc. He says, I've had to balance these three balloons, and he put three circles, and one was the family, the other one was, you know, his work and his friends, and he said, you know, to balance these things, you know, correctly, is a challenge. And I said, well, I think there's another balloon that's necessary, and that's yourself, you know. So I think there are four balloons that are out there, and you know, in terms of people, you know, yourself, your family and friends, and then your coworkers, your job, in terms of time you put into it. I'm sort of looking at the time to make sure I cover it. I think that, you know, let's go to the conclusions, which I think is, you know, the best chapter of all. He says first of all important. He says there in about five segments. He says it's never too late, and that's a philosophy to me that's super important. That we can always improve at any given moment in our life, and we can change our attitudes. I think it was Whitehead who said the most positive things that he feels in life is that a person can change his life by changing his attitude. And so I think, you know, that particular statement is correct, and that they saw this throughout these generations of people at a given moment changing, you know, the course of their life. So the first thing is never too late. The other one is the pursuit, the importance of the pursuit of something better. And let me get that as 270, because there's a quote I want to give on 277. Bear with me. Which I think is, you know, it's do I matter? This speaks to the concern of many of the bigger thing. Do I matter? Some of us have lived the majority of our lives and find ourselves looking back. Others have most of our lives in front of us and are looking forward. For all of us, regardless of age, it helps to remember that this question of mattering, of leaving something for future generations, and of being part of something bigger than ourselves, is not just about our personal achievements. It's about what we mean to other people. And it's never too late to start now and leave a mark. The bigger picture. Then he calls filling the gaps, you know, and this basically is, he says, it's very personal. It's my definition of well-being, living your personal values. And he's saying, I'm quoting from him, from this book. It can't say if it would be better for you to have a heart-to-heart over a cup of coffee or play a game of basketball or go for a walk with a friend. Those answers can only come through reflection and figuring out what works for you. For anything in this book to be useful, you will need to tune into your unique life experience and make its lesson your own. And here's what science can tell you, he says. Good relationships keep us happier, healthier, and help us live longer. And there is, you know, there's a studies, 300,000 different studies, 300,000 people participate in all these different studies. And he cites all of them, and I'm not going to go into that, of course. The fourth is relationships and social fitness. And this is one of the most powerful ones. And with that, I kind of move in towards the end of this third segment. And basically says that we have the three R's. There should be a fourth, arithmetic, reading and writing. And he says there should be a fourth, which would be relationships. And then I quote him, because this need for connection is fundamental to a flourishing life, we believe that in public policy along, right alongside exercise, diet, and other health recommendations, making social fitness central to health education is especially important today. And so courses in social and emotional learning focus on helping students learn self-awareness, identify and manage emotions, and hone their relationship skills. So fully agree. These soft skills, which, he calls relationships, are absolutely critical. Let me see. I wanted to end up with adversity in the path of the good life, as it says, a final decision. I leave you with this. He says, think about someone, just one person, who is important to you. Someone who may not know how much they really mean to you. It could be your spouse, your significant other, a friend, a co-worker, a sibling, a parent, a child, or even a coach or teacher from your younger days. This person could be sitting beside you as you read or listen to this book. They could be standing over the sink washing dishes or another city, another country. Think about where they stand in their lives, what they are struggling with. Think about what they mean to you, what they have done for you in your life. Where would you be without them? Who would you be? Now think about what you would thank them for if you thought you would never see them again. At this moment, right now, turn to them, call them, tell them. That's the way the book ends. And it's a powerful book. Call that special person. Be grateful. Be humble. Lead the good life. Hope this is helpful to you. See you next week. Take care.
Allegro WIPR 91.3 FM was proud to present Reflections, hosted by Jorge Gonzalez, reflecting on events with our well-being in mind.